It's Herman's Hermits. Rudy Vallee.
Just come in and clock in our town to beat the band. The whole plantation's humming since you brought Dixie back to Dixieland.
Abigail Van Buren.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown, downtown.
John Cameron Swayze.
It's still ticking.
Eddie Anderson.
Favorite teeter bopper, John Cameron Swayze.
Brian Hyland and the Jokers.
There should be a big parade downtown, so girls like you could see what fools you've made. Guys like me, a payback clown.
Winter's Dancers. A name like Buffalo Springfield, they've got to be good. And last, go is gone.
So sexy.
Bogey, I just think he's great. He has unbelievable class over everybody else.
He's a great romantic character, really. The cool, sort of soft-hearted kind of guy. Cute. And when he liked you and he believed in you, he was the most loyal, wonderful guy in the whole wide world.
I don't think anybody ever really took Bogart seriously as a villain. I think that was one of the enchanting aspects of his screen characterization.
I found him to be one of the real personalities in the film industry.
And I think he was one of the best tough guys on the screen that I've ever seen.
I thought of him as smooth and dedicated, really dedicated.
I found him fascinating. It was something mysterious about him, and there was danger around him.
A movie legend is born when the qualities of a man merge with his image on the screen.
What do you want me to do, count three like they do in the movies? That's what Canino said to Little Jonesy.
Now don't go crazy.
Jonesy took it better than your take. That's one, Eddie.
Don't, Marlo, don't.
Two, Eddie.
Don't shoot, it's me, Marlo.
Look at the tag they hung on me. Mad Dog Girl.
All right. There will be no more movies for 30 days.
You know what's good for you? You won't monkey around with Fred C. Dobbs.
Looky here now. Cops grab a fella for a stick-up. He's got two guns and a butcher knife in one pocket and a powder puff and a lipstick in the other. I should have lived in the days when it counted to be a man. The way I like to ride, the way I like to fight. What good's riding and fighting these days? What do they get you?
It appeals more to women than to men. They're more elemental.
Than what?
Than women.
Men.
Than men.
Yeah. And I hope so, honey. I'm your friend. What do you mean, am I checking up on you? Of course I am. I forgot to tell you, I don't trust anybody, especially women. I didn't have a chance to thank you for what you did back there. You look good. Awful good. I didn't know they made them like that anymore.
I guess I'm in love with you.
You're good. You're very good.
You're good, Angel. You're very, very good.
You're good. You're awful good. There are two things that I never said. I never said tennis anyone, and I never said, okay, Louie, drop the gun.
A special road test for the Ford GT, a car that cost over $100,000 to build. The transmission alone cost $25,000. The engine cost as much as a small house, and the spark plugs about $1 a throw. They're Autolite spark plugs, the same kind you buy. How come $1 spark plugs in a $100,000 car? Because there are no better spark plugs, not at any price. That's why Ford puts Autolite spark plugs in every car they make. Shouldn't this kind of spark plug be in your kind of car? Autolite, a growing part of Ford, the better idea company.
Screen career, which spanned more than a quarter of a century, Humphrey Bogart was called Bogey mostly by his friends. Today, more than 10 years after his death, he's Bogey to nearly everyone. That's just one measure of the Bogart phenomenon. A top star to the end of his life, if anything, his star shines even brighter today. Movie houses are reviving his old films. Television regularly schedules Bogart nights. He's being written about and talked about more than ever before. His appeal today is universal. While older fans nostalgically cling to a vibrant memory of the past, to a whole new generation of fans, Humphrey Bogart has become a significant symbol for now.
The Brattle Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts is credited with starting the bogey craze. Patronized largely by Harvard students, its annual Bogart Festivals have inspired countless similar showings throughout the country. These young people may not have been around when his films were new, but for them, Humphrey Bogart is still very much alive.
It's very natural and kind of pushing with women, but a nice way, still gentle.
And I think you get tired of seeing pretty heroes. Bogart isn't.
Trying to be so suave and cool and callous all the time, but it turns out in the end he's really human.
I said it was like very human is everything a man really wants to be, not caring. But in his not caring, he's not trying to be cool, he was cool.
No matter what he does, it comes out cool.
Humphrey is just cool, I thought.
He's the greatest, I like his movies.
Notice what he does, he goes around, he will pull his ear or something like that. He'll
create a whole character just by walking around doing that periodically in a film. They'll invent a characteristic that hasn't got anything to do with the plot, really. It's the little thing that he does. It's incredible.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
This is the Bogart with whom today's audience is so strongly identified.
I thought you'd play it.
Oh, just a little something of my own.
Now stop it. You know what I want to hear.
No, don't.
Played it for her, you played it for me.
Well, I don't think I can remember.
If she can stand it, I can. Play it.
Yes, Paul.
He's the man alone. A tough guy without illusions, whose disappointment with the human condition his toughness sometimes only thinly hides. Inevitably, the fascination with Bogart lies in the merging of the characters he played in the screen with the legends of his own life, begun at the turn of the century. Humphrey Bogart made his first public appearance as a model for his mother's famed magazine illustrations. And by the 1920s, this son of a well-to-do surgeon finds himself married to actress Helen Menken and fully embarked on a stage career, usually playing country club juveniles. One of his early leading ladies, Mary Phillips, will become the second of his four actress wives. In plays like Hell's Bells with Shirley Booth, Bogart soon develops into one of the theater's most prominent young leading men. Of one of his earlier performances, critic Alexander Wolcott had written, "The young man is what may be mercifully described as inadequate." Now, Wolcott says he must eat his words. And a lady reporter writes, "Bogart is as handsome and as elegant and graceful as Valentino." In 1930, Bogey makes his first movie. Filmed in New York with Ruth Etting, it's only a 10-minute short, but Hollywood's epics are beckoning.
Here they are.
Well, 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 well.
In Hollywood, one of Bogart's first feature films is Warner Brothers' Big City Blues. In this early talkie, Bogart rates 10th billing under the picture's star, Joan Blondell.
Hello.
Chef, how's show business?
There ain't any.
Say, Chef, come here. I want you to meet my cousin, Buddy Reed.
No, I'm glad to know you.
Oh, listen, folks, I want the whole crowd of you to meet my cousin, my good little old cousin, Buddy Reed.
Hiya, Buddy.
You know, Chef here is the treasurer over at the New Era Theater.
Assistant.
Well, it's the same thing, isn't it?
No, the pay ain't.
Miss Joan Blondell.
Well, in the 30s, at Warner Brothers, there were a group of people that were known as a stock company, and there were some wonderful people there. Cagney, Betty Davis, Glenda Farrell, Frank McHugh, Alan Jenkins, Big Powell, Ruby Keeler, Ginger Rogers, oh, a whole mass of wonderful people, and Bogey. But looking back, I would say that he kind of stood apart from the Baggy Pants group. He had some kind of a legitimacy. He was legit. That's why I had trouble with that other word. Legit is it. He was kind of legit from the very beginning. Even before he was a big star, he kind of stood by himself and he underplayed it. We all batted our eyes too much and rolled our and showed our teeth and, made too many moves. And possibly looking at us now, we were a little corny, but Bogey was not. He was very tight-lipped and legitimate. And that's what I noticed first about him. And I thought he was quite snobby. And I do admire snobby people. He was not one that you could fly up to and throw your arms around like you could Pat O'Brien or Cagney or Dick Powell. He was kind of to himself. He looked like he was thinking of something. If anybody wants to keep people away from them, just pretend like you're thinking about something.
Bogart finds success in Hollywood elusive. In films, glamour boy roles don't seem his style. In Three in a Match with Ann Dvorak, he plays his first gangster.
Say, you got a nerve busting into my flat like this? Get out!
Uh-oh. Go on, get in that room and shut up.
You mustn't hit my mama.
Okay. I'll bear that in mind.
Perhaps he should have stayed in New York. And it's on Broadway that Bogart triumphs as a gangster when he plays Duke Mantee in The Petrified Forest with Leslie Howard. Howard refuses to act in the film version unless Bogart accompanies him. And in 1936, Humphrey Bogart makes an extraordinary entrance into the ranks of Warner Brothers' Murderers Row.
Now just behave yourself. This is Duke Mantee, the world-famous killer. And he's hungry.
His brooding portrait of the subhuman Dillinger-type killer will launch him on one of the screen's most celebrated careers in crime.
Come in.
Well, so we meet again.
Sit down, pal. Down there.
Just keep in mind that I and the boys is candidates for hanging. The first time any one of you makes a wrong move, I'm going to kill a whole lot of you.
You're the last great apostle of rugged individualism.
Maybe you're right, pal.
The bogey that came out of Petrified Forest was one that Bogey, I think, played.
Writer-director Joseph L. Mankiewicz.
Played it in public, and he enjoyed the effect it had on people. Bogey was, in many ways, an enchanting, devious man.
I know that I made a picture called Invisible Stripes.
George Raft, a colleague of Bogey's in Warner's Gallery of Rogues.
And it was a very peculiar thing because we were in the shower together. And I think that I was a little taller naturally than Bogart in reality. But when we come out of the shower, we were walking out of the penitentiary together, he was a little taller than me. So I looked down and noticed he had little sort of lifts on his shoes, and I had a young man with me at the time by the name of Matt Gray, and I yelled, "Stop the camera." I says, "Matt, get those shoes that I wore with Gary Cooper in Souls at Sea."
In Dead End, Bogart both solidifies his position as a screen gangster and enhances his reputation as an actor, playing Babyface Martin with Claire Trevor.
Listen, you gotta take care of yourself. What are you doing here anyway? You gotta get away. I don't want them to get you.
What difference does it make where I go? They got the finger on me everywhere.
Oh, but they won't recognize you. They won't. Even I didn't.
Yeah, but you can't change these. Three times I bind them with acid and things. It's no good. I'm getting out of here. I come back for you.
It wouldn't be good for you.
I'll worry about that.
I'm tired. I'm sick. Can't you see it? Look at me good. You've been looking at me like I used to be.
When you get a job?
They don't grow on trees.
When you starve first?
I didn't do. Well, what did you expect?
I don't know.
The newest tough guy in town, Bogart doesn't always get the best roles, and sometimes even finds himself cast uncomfortably within the law.
What do you think you're celebrating? Turn that thing off!
See, I can't help it, officer. It's the muffler.
I thought it was a violin. We'll get it fixed.
Now, please, officer. It's very important to me that I get this job. It's terribly important. Would you please ride a little faster?
Oh, you're a tough guy, huh? Don't stall. If you got something on your chest, spill it.
You don't have to be tough just to show everybody you're a big shot.
You're just another cop to me like all the rest, and I wouldn't trust one of you.
I was a pretty tough guy, too. But one day I got to thinking, and I figured that tough guys were fall guys. They seem to be getting all the bad breaks. Is that what you want?
First chance I get, I'm going to blow this joint. You and your friends ain't going to stop me.
Bogart finds the old axiom true. Good guys finish last. In the 30s, it's crime that pays. And through countless films, often in support of Cagney or Robinson, Bogart pursues a violent course and inevitably meets with a violent end. But he's a gangster who goes out as he lives, with style.
The fat of the land I'm living off of. Look, silk, $20. Custom tailored, $150.
And dames ever get scared? Me, what of? You can't live forever.
Give me that gun.
Yeah, and all the slugs with it.
Don't be funny, mister. This gun has a hair trigger.
Boom.
I'm starting to take over the numbers game.
Anything.
Oh, no, you won't.
What's wrong on you?
My feelings is getting hurt.
Oh, my poor, delicate little rosebud.
Remember, mine's bigger than yours.
Settle with you, you double cross.
You're starting to crawl, eh?
Is an experimental car going through its paces. It was hand-built by Ford for over $250,000. And when you spend $250,000 on a car, you're not about to scrimp on anything. The control panel costs $10,000, the body alone $50,000, and the oil filter, it's an Autolite filter, less than $4, the same kind you buy. How come a $4 filter in a $250,000 car? Because there is no better filter, not at any price. That's why Ford puts an Autolite oil filter in every car they make. Shouldn't this kind of oil filter be in your kind of car? Autolite, a growing part of Ford, the better idea company.
1941, High Sierra. Bogart plays Mad Dog Earl, the last gangster. An era in the gangster film and a chapter in Bogart's career will soon be over. Ida Lupino.
I find it very hard to cry in front of a whole crew, especially when they say, quiet, everybody quiet. I'd freeze up. I couldn't do anything. So Bogey sensed that this was the side of this man, this tough guy, that, you know, his friends knew. But I didn't know. And he took me to one side. He looked at our director, Raoul Walsh, and gave him a sign. He took me to one side and he said, listen, doll, he said, if you can't cry, just remember one thing. I'm going to take the picture away from you. Well, I started to laugh. And I said, now listen, Bogey, I can't cry. Don't break me up. He said, all right, you relax. And I said, yes, I am, but now I can't cry. He said, all right, next step. Come on. He walked me further away. And he said, just try and think of one thing. If you can't relate it to me or the character, my character right now, he said, go back to your childhood. Can you remember when you had to say goodbye to somebody you loved, and you thought you weren't going to see them again? And I said, yes. And he said, well, think of that, baby. Think of it. And there were tears in his eyes, and before I knew it, I was crying.
I tell you right out, I'm a man who likes talking to a man who likes to talk.
Well, will we talk about the Blackbird?
The Maltese Falcon, with Sidney Greenspan.
That's wonderful, sir, wonderful. I do like a man who tells you right after he's looking out for himself. Don't we all?
As Sam Spade, Private Eye, Bogart's essential screen character emerges. The cool, self-sufficient loner who knows the score. Gangster tough, he's basically honest. He's his own man. And as Mary Astor regretfully learns, true to his own code.
When a man's partner's killed, he's supposed to do something about it. It doesn't make any difference what you thought of him. He was your partner, and you're supposed to do something about it.
Don't be too sure I'm as crooked as I'm supposed to be. That sort of reputation might be good business, bringing high-priced jobs and making it easier to deal with the enemy.
I hope they don't hang you, Precious, for that sweet neck.
No, no.
Yes, Angel, I'm going to send you over. The chances are you'll get off with life. That means if you're a good girl, you'll be out in 20 years. I'll be waiting for you. If they hang you, I'll always remember you.
Don't say that even in fun. Oh, I was frightened for a minute. I really thought you do such wild and unpredictable things.
Don't be silly. You're taking the fall.
Married to actress Mayo Metho, off the screen too, Bogart lives by his own rules. I do as I please, he says. The world is three drinks behind, and it's time it caught up. The Bogart's mutual love for the sea gets far less publicity than their spectacular public and private marital brawls. Their boat Sluggy bears Bogart's name for his wife, while the press simply refers to them both as the Battling Bogarts. Living nearby, friendly witness to the battle on land and sea, Joan Blondell.
And on this quiet day, in the sunshine, the boat would go this way and that way, and it kept rocking and rocking on this still water, so I got myself into a dinghy once and rowed out there and to see what weird thing was happening. Well, they both came out, and everything was bleeding on them, particularly noses. And they yanked me on the boat, and they said, have a drink, Joni, and gave us a drink. And they were the best of pals. Bogey took a piece of ice out of his highball glass and put it in the back of his neck to stop the bleeding. And says, boy, is she a dame. She's got a right like nobody. And she was saying, that guy is so vicious. And then we laughed. They laughed, and we had a lovely time. After that, the boat would rock. Sometimes Mayo would come in. And she'd say, that guy, look at this shiner. And she had one. And whatever piece of meat or anything I had, I'd plunk it on her eye. And she said she was finished with him. And pretty soon she'd roll back and all would be well. She loved Bogey. And then Bogey would a couple of times come in. Once he came in and said, she's got a right like a truck driver. Look at my eye. But they seemed to have something for each other. It was kind of crazy. And I guess that was that quiet drive this guy has.
No matter what the future brings, as time goes by.
Sam, I thought I told you never to play.
Casablanca, with Ingrid Bergman, synthesizes the Bogart so popular today. The skeptical cynic, suspicious of causes, wearing toughness and self-interest to conceal his shattered ideals.
I know how you feel about me, but I'm asking you to put your feelings aside for something more important.
Do I have to hear again what a great man your husband is, what an important cause he's fighting for?
It was your cause, too. In your own way, you were fighting for the same thing.
I'm not fighting for anything anymore except myself. I'm the only cause I'm interested in.
And if he did not leave her in Marseille or in Iran, he certainly won't leave her in Casablanca.
Who you want ever gave you the impression that I might be interested in helping Laszlo escape?
Because, my dear Ricky, I suspect that under that cynical shell, you're at heart a sentimentalist. Oh, laugh if you will, but I happen to be familiar with the record. Let me point out just two items. In 1935, you ran guns to Ethiopia. In 1936, you fought in Spain on the loyalist side.
I got well paid for it on both occasions.
The winning side would have paid you much better.
Problems of the world are not in my department. I'm a saloon keeper.
My friends in the underground tell me that you've quite a record. You ran guns to Ethiopia. You fought against the fascists in Spain.
What of it?
Isn't it strange that you always happen to be fighting on the side of the underdog?
Rick, help me.
Be a fool, you can't get away.
Rick, hide me. Do something. You must help me, Rick. Do something.
Come on.
Rick!
Rick! When they come to get me, Rick, I hope you'll be more of a help.
I'd stick my neck out for nobody.
Do you mind if I ask you a few questions? Unofficially, of course.
Make it official if you like.
What is your nationality?
I'm a drunkard.
Underneath, there's a soft heart, vulnerable to love. Casablanca establishes Bogart as a romantic star.
Who are you really, and what were you before? What did you do, and what did you think, huh?
We said no questions.
Here's looking at you, kid.
The world will always welcome lovers.
Wants us to finish this bottle and then three more. Says he'll water his garden with champagne before he'll let the Germans drink it.
This sort of takes the sting out of being occupied, doesn't it, Mr. Richards?
You said it. He's looking at you, kid.
I can't fight it anymore. I ran away from you once. I can't do it again. I don't know what's right any longer. You have to think for both of us. For all of us.
All right. I will. He's looking at you, kid.
I wish I didn't love you so much.
If that plane leaves the ground and you're not with him, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life.
But what about us?
We'll always have Paris. We didn't have, we lost it until you came to Casablanca. We got it back last night.
And I said I would never leave you.
And you never will. But I've got a job to do, too. Where I'm going, you can't follow. What I've got to do, you can't be any part of. Hilda, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. Now, now. He's looking at you, kid.
Today, nearly a quarter of a century since the filming of Casablanca, Ingrid Bergman comments on what it was like to work with Bogart.
We made a picture together called Casablanca. I was delighted because I had admired Bogart very much as an actor. I found him fascinating. There was something mysterious about him. And it was dangerous. It was danger around him. And with all his toughness and roughness, you still felt that behind it all, there was a tender heart.